thank you. I want to say a special thank you to Sarah for the great job she did last week, huh? Can that woman preach, yes or no? Better up my game, that's all I can say. Dear Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus said in the Gospels that the Queen of the South will rise up and condemn this generation because she traveled across the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and someone greater than Solomon is here. I pray that you would teach us the meaning of this, and we could once again look at the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We could once again be compelled by the wonder of who he is. Pray that we could be the church that you created us to be. In Christ's name, amen. It's very hard for us to relate to the ancient world because we live such different lives. If I wanted to, I could get in that luxurious F-150. And in a couple of days, I could be in Bar Harbor, Maine, or Miami, Florida. Or I could be in New Orleans or Minneapolis. If it's too cold, I push a button and the heat comes on in my truck. And I can set it to the very degrees I want it. The only place in the earth that I get to control the heat is my truck. And that's if somebody else isn't in it with me. Maybe 3 or 4 days, I could be in San Diego or Seattle. There's 4-lane highways everywhere. Gas stations are strategically located. And there are dozens and dozens of drive-through restaurants. That's just a normal world for us. The ancients didn't travel at 70 miles an hour on superhighways. They traveled about 3 miles an hour on caravan trails. We have a hard time understanding no gas stations, no McDonald's, no Chick-fil-A, 3 mile an hour world. But ironically, even though the world was much slower, these caravan trails connected the world. People knew about each other, and they knew what each other was doing and making because caravans traveled and not only spread merchandise, they spread information. And we have an incredible example of this from the book of 1 Kings, where a caravan passed through Jerusalem and they saw everything miraculous that King Solomon was doing. They heard his wisdom. They saw the architecture of the buildings he was building. They saw that the people who worked for him were all happy. And as the caravan went south, the people in the caravan told about this miraculous king and the incredible city he was making. And the information made it all the way to a tiny little country at the very end of the Arabian Peninsula called Sheba. I have a map of this. This is the Arabian Peninsula, and if you look at the very bottom of the map, you'll see a little square, and it says Saba in it. Do you see it? Everybody got it? This means yes. That's Sheba. And as you can see, it is strategically located to be a port country. Sheba didn't produce much, but they were the merchants of the ancient world. boats came in there from Africa and India, and caravans went north carrying frankincense, spices, and precious stones that were mined all over Africa. And of course, the caravans went north. And the caravan route passed through Israel on its way to places like Nineveh, Babylon, and Susa. And when the caravan got to Sheba, the men in the caravan started telling their story about this incredible guy and the great city he was building. And the queen of Sheba said, "I don't believe it. You're spinning the story. It can't be this good." So 1 Kings chapter 10 says, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great caravan, with camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her heart." I know it says mind, but the actual word there in the Hebrew is the word for heart. She talked to him about more than science questions. She talked to him about the nature of living, the realities of her soul. Solomon became interesting enough for this queen to leave the luxuries of her home and go on a 65-day camel ride to where Solomon was. There was something interesting enough about him that she was willing to do that. Do you know what I believe? I believe people are willing to go to interesting churches. I don't care what the statistics say. I don't care what everyone says. This is my life experience. When church is interesting, people are willing to go. It's when church is not interesting, it's boring, judgmental, and torturous, then nobody wants to go. If you want to go to a boring, judgmental, torturous church, you got a problem. On the other hand, exactly like Solomon, if we can get it right, people are fascinated and want to come to church. Here is what I found of 40 years of pastoring this church. There are people sitting at home right now who would go to church if they believed it was interesting and relevant. But because their church experience has been unpleasant, it's been boring, and it hasn't been helpful, they simply say, "That's not interesting enough for me to give Sunday morning to when I can watch whatever." If we're going to be the kind of church God wants us to be, we have to be interesting. And the thing that makes the church the most interesting is Christ. The better we know and the better we reflect Christ, the more interesting we are as a church. And when she got there, she kind of came with a little chip on her shoulder. If you read this the way it wants to be read, she came to test him with hard questions. She had an agenda. She wasn't there to just look around. She said, I'm gonna find out if this guy's a fake or not. And she had her questions ready. In fact, the word that's translated questions might be translated riddles. She brought the riddles of life with her to test Solomon. I believe it's fair for unchurched people to bring the riddles of life with them and expect us to have honest conversations with them. Church, please open your heart to this. I believe it is proper for people to bring their life struggles and questions with them to church and expect to have honest and fair conversations with us about them. Now, here's what they don't need. They don't need you beating them down with your political opinion. Do you hear it? They can get that anywhere. They don't need that at church. They don't need you to cite 13 websites that agrees with you about COVID. They can get that everywhere. What they need is a healthy place where they can have healthy conversations about the difficulties of life with honest and fair people who care. And I believe people are attracted to a church like that. I believe there are people at home this morning who would be in church if they knew there was a place they could bring their life questions and not be judged, criticized, or browbeat. She also brought with her a lot of treasures. Her caravan of camels came loaded with spices and gold and precious stones. It takes a certain amount of trust to go from where she lived to Jerusalem. By the way, there are no highway patrol. There's no local police. Whatever you got, you have to protect yourself. And somehow or another, even though that was true, she believed in her heart Jerusalem and Solomon were safe and they weren't going to steal from her. Do you know what? I believe people need to believe the church is a safe place. Do you get it? I believe people need to believe that church is a safe place. She didn't just bring her riches. She brought something much more personal. She brought her heart. See, I believe she talked to Solomon about things that were personal and about her soul and about how she experienced life and how she felt about things. And Solomon was a safe man for her to talk to. Do you know the church is attractive when we're safe? The church isn't attractive when we're judgmental. Now let me tell you this one more time. Jesus said, I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus himself taught us, listen, Jesus himself taught us, stop having a judgmental attitude toward people. That doesn't help. What does help is to say we can have an honest and caring conversation about anything that's troubling you. And you're going to go out of here having talked to someone who cares. Even if we don't agree, we're going to be caring, we're going to be gentle, we're going to be kind, and we're going to treat each other the way God wants people treated. Do you hear that? I believe people are attracted to a church like that. I don't believe people are attracted to a church where they care about their opinions more than they do about people's souls. Church. I don't believe people are attracted to churches where they care, they're quicker to judge than they are to encourage. When the Queen of Sheba got to Solomon, she had conversations with a good man who was trustworthy and caring. And even if they didn't agree about everything, she felt better for having talked to Solomon. And I believe people would be attracted to a church like that. Can you hear me? I believe if we would have a reputation where this is a safe place to share your soul, more people would be attracted to Christ in the church. I'm not saying we have to be like Solomon and answer every question, but we do have to be open to have caring conversations. I have said to people, I really don't know. I don't know. But I do care about you, and I want what's best for you, church. I believe there's something wonderful about Christ that if we can share it in a caring conversation with a non-judgmental spirit, people will be attracted to him. And Solomon answered all her questions, and there was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, and the house that he built, and the food of his table, and the seating of his officials, and the attendance of his servants, and their clothing, and his cupbearers, and his burnt offering that he offered at the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit left in her. The chip that was on her shoulder when she came, after she experienced the goodness of being there, it was gone. Church, I don't think there's anything wrong with people coming to church with a chip on their shoulder. I think we should expect it. I think life does that to people. I think there is something wrong when they hang around with us for enough time and we don't help them grow and we don't help them learn and we don't help them have a sense of the goodness of God, and the chip never goes away. Church, the Queen of Sheba said, I get it. I get it. And if we're the kind of church we should be, people are going to come here, yeah, and have some attitudes, and we're going to have to be a blessing to them. We're going to have to love them. We're going to have to encourage them. But I believe if you treat people right long enough, something changes in their hearts. Can you hear me? I believe that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. I'm a better man because Christ gives me grace, not because he beats me down every time I make a mistake. Church, and that's attractive to me. And I believe that makes an attractive church. I call this the Solomon experience. What was it like to be around Solomon? If you could get in your car and drive and hang out with Solomon for a month, what would hanging around with him for a month be like? Well, here are five things. This is what you experienced when you're around Solomon. Wisdom. Solomon was smart, and he made the people around him smarter. I like being around smart people who make me smarter. I like it. I like learning. I like hearing things. I like people having an insight that I wouldn't have. They just have a perspective I don't have, and they have an insight, and I like thinking, man, that's pretty good. When you were around Solomon, the way his wisdom rubbed off on you. Everybody got a little smarter by hanging around with Solomon. The second thing is Solomon cared about architecture. When the Queen of Sheba came to Jerusalem, she said, I can't help but noticing all the incredible buildings that Solomon is building. You do know the temple was absolutely phenomenal. It was covered in white stone. It was on the Temple Mount. It could be seen for miles, and people were in awe of it. Architecture matters. West Campus, I want to tell you, I can't wait to see the architecture, the new beautiful building that it's going to be built out there on Chestnut Ridge. It's going to be attractive, and people are going to want to go in and see what's happening there. I believe our architecture says something to the world about what we believe about God. Do you hear this? I believe that 100 years from now, when nobody remembers any of us, they'll say, when the millennium changed, there were a generation of people who loved and believed in God, and this is the kind of place they built in his honor and to worship him. Church, I don't believe that Christ is honored when we separate the places we dedicate to him from his glory. I believe the house of the Lord ought to be in a phenomenal place. It attracts attention to Jesus Christ. You get it? Third, everybody got a good dinner when they were around Solomon. It says here, she noticed the food on his table. Something about how well the people ate around Solomon captured her attention. There are some people that feeding people around them is like their love language. Do you know those kind of people? I feel like they're breaking out a plunger. You're going to eat some more. Eat some more. Okay. If you're one of those people, God bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. All right. Solomon was that kind of guy. When you were at Solomon's house, you were going to eat well. He was going to have stuff on the table, and you were going to be served, and it was going to be like Thanksgiving dinner when you had one more helping than you should have had. Huh? And then pie on top of that. Solomon cared that people were nurtured and cared for around him. The Solomon experience was you were going to be fed and treated well. And then the Queen of Sheba noticed that Solomon was organized. Look, there was an organization. Solomon was king. He had these servants, and he had these attendants, and he had cupbearers, and he had officials. Things were organized. Solomon wasn't leaving everything to chaos and disorder. When you were around Solomon, you had a sense of things are organized and working well. But probably most important, the Queen of Sheba noticed the burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord. Solomon always invited you into worship. It didn't matter who you are or who you were, or where you were from. If you hung around with Solomon, he was going to invite you into worship. Now, I wonder what would happen if we took the Solomon experience and say, could we recreate that at church? If Solomon was so interesting and so attractive, what if we took the Solomon experience and tried to recreate it at church? Some of you need to remember how hard it was to walk into church for the first time. Look, I come here every day. This place is, it feels like home to me. It's lost its scariness to me. I just come here too much. But look, this can be a scary place for somebody to come the first time. It can be pretty uncomfortable. I want West Campus. I want people to pull into your parking lot. And I want them to be greeted, and I want them to come in. I want them to have a wonderful church experience. I want them to go home saying, I'm glad I went to church today. Old Brooklyn, I want people to have an awesome experience at your campus. I know there's nowhere to park, but we can treat them really good if they can get in. All right. That kid gets ice cream from me. I'm serious. After the service, you make sure I get to talk to you. Listen. Church, I want people to have a good experience when they come to church here. Is that fair? Isn't it fair for us to say, what can we do to make a more pleasant experience for people when they come to church? What can we do? What would it take? How might we greet them in the parking lot? My friend Don Dooley and I went and bought that golf cart. So you get a better experience in the parking lot. You don't have to walk if you don't want to. I want people to have a good parking lot experience. When they come in the door, I want people to smile. Have a good cup of coffee. Some of you don't like coffee, so I got a Coke back there. Free Cokes. For you who are picky, Diet Coke, too. I mean, I want people to come in here and have a good experience. I want babies to come in here and be loved in the kind of way that they just, it just, even as a baby, it's a beautiful place to be. I want junior high kids to come in here and they're having the worst time of their life and they're being tortured every day at school and they don't know what's going on because you're kind of half insane when you're in junior high. I want them to come here and say, this is the best hour of my life. Do you hear this, church? I want families to come in here and feel like they don't have to worry if their kids aren't perfect. I want old folks to come in here and say, isn't it great to be in a place like this? I want everyone who comes to this church to have a good experience. I want them to be getting in their car and driving home and going, I'm glad I went to church today. And for that to happen, we have to do what Solomon did and create a good experience. We got to share the wisdom of Christ here. Our architecture matters. We have to supply people. We have to feed them if they need fed. We need to nurture them spiritually. We need to care for their souls. We need to be organized. It matters that we have the right staff. It matters that we have the right elders. It matters that we have the right deacons, the right life group leaders. It matters. And most of all, we have to invite people into worship. People have to have a sense, I was in the presence of God today. In some way I knew, I felt the reality of God because I went to church. Can you hear me, church? If we're going to create an environment that is a good experience for everyone, we need to have 300 new volunteers this year. You know why? More volunteers, better experience. Been to a restaurant lately? Can't get seated. They don't have enough servers. Go to Drug Mart. Can't get Gatorade. No one to stock the shelf with the Gatorade. Huh? The number of volunteers, it affects the experience. And some of you, it's time for you to say to Christ, you can count on me. I'm going to do something every week that makes the experience of people who come to church better. God, I'm on your team to create a place where people have a good experience and they're attracted back to Christ. In fact, the queen says, this was better than I expected. Listen to what she said. She said to the king, the report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom. But I didn't believe the reports until I came, and my own eyes have seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpassed the report that I heard. Listen, happy are your men. Happy are your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, he made you king that you may execute justice and righteousness. Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold. A talent is 75 pounds. So 120 times 75 times 8, what is it, $1,800 an ounce? You people who are good at math, you just figured out how much she gave him. And a very great quantity of spices and precious stones. Never again came such an abundance of spices as these that the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. You know what I like about this? She said, it was better than I expected. It was better than I expected. I've talked to people. You've brought a friend or a family member, and I've talked to them after church, and I have heard people say, this was better than I thought. This was better than I expected. Church, isn't it a beautiful thing when God works through us and people come to church and they honestly say, it's better than I expected? Church, I believe people are attracted to a church that's better than what they expected. I believe there is something beautiful about saying, but when I came, it was better than I expected. Church, I wonder, anywhere in your heart, do you feel any kind of rippling? Do you feel any kind of stirring to say to Christ, I want to be on your team. I want to do church. I want to help to do church in the kind of way that people will go home and say, it was better than I expected. I want to be on the team that's making that happen. I want to be part of the dream team that's saying, it was twice as good as what I expected. How do we make it twice as good as what people expect? If that is our goal, how do we do it? Well, the scripture tells us here also. She said to Solomon, you're smarter than I thought you were. You're wiser than I thought you were. We can make it better than people expect when we share with them a wisdom they can't get anywhere else, and it's the wisdom of Jesus Christ. Can you hear this? People can do online courses. People can go to college. They can go to the university. We have some of the best schools in America right here in Cleveland. We take it for granted, but this is a pretty blessed place. They can get a lot in a lot of places, but there's one place where the wisdom of Christ is meant to be shared. It's the church. Do you hear this? It will be better than what people expect as we share a wisdom that is better than they can get other places, and it is the wisdom of Jesus Christ. The second thing she said to Solomon was, it's better than I expected because everybody's happy here. Where can you go where everyone is happy? I mean, come on. I've seen grouchy people at Cedar Point. Some years ago, Sharon and I went for an anniversary to this beautiful resort. I mean, beautiful. And it had one of these pools that was round on the side and was up on a cliff. And so you could stand at the edge of that pool and look out toward the ocean and the beach. We're standing there with a foo-foo drink, looking out at the ocean. And this guy from Chicago is just tearing the place apart. Yeah, what a dump this place is. I've been better place. Middle class snob. You couldn't please that guy. I mean, you're in paradise, and he's grouchy. All right. So we just moved to a different part of the pool. Move to the joy. That's what our family says. Church. It would be better than people what expected if we shared a sense of happiness and well-being with people who come here. Can you hear me? There's something attractive about happiness. I kind of like being around happy people. Huh? Brothers, happy wife, happy life. There's something delightful about being around happy people. If we want people to think church is better than what they expected, then we need to share a basic sense of happiness with them. They can get grouchy anywhere. Church is a beautiful place where the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Then it says, she said, I have a sense that this place is blessed by God. It's better than what I expected because I'm aware that it's blessed by God. What would it be a beautiful thing if people visited us who had given up on church, and when they left, they said, I just have a sense that the blessing of God is here. Church, I have a sense that God blesses this place. I don't know if you know it, but this is a God-blessed church. We have been blessed again and again and again and again. I could tell you miracle upon miracle that this church has experienced because God has blessed us. More than that, she said, God likes this place. He delights in it. It's one thing for me to say, I delight myself in the Lord. It's another thing for the Lord to say, I like hanging around with those people. Church, I'd like to be a church where God says, well, I know where I'm going Sunday. I know where I'm going Sunday. I'm going over to Christ Church and hang around with those people. I kind of like them. I delight in them. Do you want God to bless our church? What can you do to be a person that God delights in? What can you do to be a person that God delights in? How can you treat people in a way that God delights blessing you in the way you treat people? And then finally she said, I sense the love of God in this place. God must love this place because he made you the king and he blesses you to give justice and righteousness. Listen. Oh, how beautiful a church is that is feeling the love of God and sharing the love of God with other people. Can you hear this? You know what I want when I go to church? I want to have a sense that God likes me and he cares for me and I matter to him. I want to have a sense that God loves me enough to forgive me for being an idiot. I want to have a sense that God loves me enough that he's working in my life to make me a better man. I believe the church would be attractive if we became a place where it was easy for people to sense the love of God in the place. And then verse 13, Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba everything that she desired. Whatever she asked for, Solomon gave her. You know what? We have to be generous with people. People come in here with honest needs. We got to be generous with them. You got it? I will never apologize that we give $50,000 a year to feed people. I'm never going to apologize for that. I believe it's a beautiful thing. I believe it's a beautiful thing that every month this year at West Campus and at Old Brooklyn, our food banks will give out food for about 200 families at each time. I think it's a beautiful thing that kids take home food every weekend because you are generous. I also think it's a beautiful thing when you're generous and you take a moment to say hi to somebody in Main Street, or you take a moment to introduce yourself to someone, or you go out of your way to help a single mom who's trying to get three kids out to the car in rainy weather. I think it's a beautiful thing for us to be generous. Do you hear it? And I believe that attracts people to Christ. The Queen of Sheba comes up in Jesus' life. He said in Luke's gospel, the Queen of the South will rise up in judgment with this generation because she traveled across the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and greater than Solomon is here. You know what Jesus is saying? If you think Solomon was interesting, Jesus Christ is infinitely more interesting. If you think Solomon was wonderful to be around, Jesus Christ is infinitely more wonderful to be around. If being around Solomon made you a better soul, being around Christ makes you an infinitely better soul. So here's my point, church. I believe the church will be attractive. I believe that people will want to come to church when you and I are able to share what is most attractive about Jesus Christ. The more we share the love of Christ, the more attracted people are to him. The more we share the forgiveness of Christ, the more people are attracted to him. The more we share the grace of Christ, the more people are attracted. The more we share the teaching of Jesus Christ, the more the people are attracted. Jesus Christ is what is most attractive about the church. And if you and I can have a relationship with Christ where people can sense something good about him in us, they will be attracted, and Christ's purpose in the church will be fulfilled generation after generation after generation. I'm asking you to share a vision of being a place where people from all over northeastern Ohio are attracted, because when they get here, they experience something of the wonder of Jesus Christ. Our dear Heavenly Father, what an incredible gift it is to be invited to be a partner with Jesus Christ. What a beautiful thing it is. What a delightful thing it is. I pray for us as a church, all three campuses, and everybody who watches online, I pray that we could get it right this year. I pray that we could be an attractive place where people would be delighted to come, and they could trust us, and we could share the life of Christ with them. I'm praying mostly for people who are sitting at home alone today. They've given up on church. They've lost their fascination with Christ. They have an emptiness about life. They have a basic disappointment. I'm praying that we could develop a reputation and people like that could hear, and they would come and visit, and your Spirit would whisper to them and affirm them, and the love of Christ would encourage them, and they would feel a new longing to have Christ in their lives. And I pray that you would do this for your own glory. In Christ's name, amen.